Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Ed, why don't you come and share the word of God with us from Houston, Texas. He's very involved in the prison ministry at his church, works a secular job, putting in glass for commercial businesses and stuff like that, even hangs off the edge and stuff like that. Yeah. So he does that. That's what he does for secular work, but he's very involved in the ministry of his church. Loves to get an opportunity to preach, and but God placed Creed on his heart, just kind of out of the blue, and so this has happened over like, five, six months. So, God bless you. I'm gonna turn it over to you.
Good morning, everybody. So we are excited. We are very excited because we came expecting. Amen. We came expecting. So before we get started, I just want to open up in prayer, man. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity, Father. We thank you for your presence in our life. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for being faithful even in the midst when we tend to fail you, Father God. But we pray that today you go beyond words and that you touch our hearts, that we hear directly from you, Father God. Move me out the way. Move me out the way and let's hear from you. What does saith the Lord? So we hand over the service to you, Father God. We hand it over to you that we hear from you. Touch every person in this service, in the congregation, every family that's being represented. We pray that you fill them up and they receive from you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So before we get started, a little quick introduction. My name is Brother Edwin. Amen. I am involved with the Answer Prison Ministry from Ms. Jean Russell. She's been doing it. Thank you, brother. She's been doing it about over 30 years. She was one of the first women to be in prison ministry in Texas. Amen. And it still stands today. I am one of the lead preachers there in the Answer Prison Ministry. Thank you. And I am from Elam Church. That is the name of our church, Elam Church. Every Sunday morning we hold between 300 and 325 members. And we can fill more, but you know how that goes. The football stadiums are full, but the church are lacking. Amen. But praise God we're here today. And I'm also part of Crux Ministry. It is a ministry under the umbrella of the church. We offer a Friday night service, just like we're doing this morning. Friday nights we have church. We usually when we're getting ready to party, we're at church on Friday nights. Amen. We also, and we're involved with outreaches. Brother Jimmy, we go to the streets to the difficult neighborhoods of Houston. Amen. We Jesus went to the other side, and we're inspired to do the same. We go to the other side. Amen. Also, we are in the outreaches of the less fortunate with one of my mentors, Pastor James. He is out of the Abyss Ministries. We go to the preach to the less fortunate and give them a word of hope. Amen. That we don't like to call them homeless because we believe in that. That's just temporary. They're going to rise up above that. Amen. We speak life in there, and we speak life over them in Jesus' name. And also, our ministry, Crux Ministry, we offer a Monday night's service. It's a Bible study. It is called 333 Men's Accountability. The reason why it's 333 is complete opposite of 666. Amen. But also it stands for Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Amen. We also offer a Tuesday night women's Bible study because we believe that men minister to men and women minister to women. Yeah. Amen. So it is God's doing great things there. So yeah, in case you're wondering how I was led to Crete, Nebraska. About 4 years ago, I joined a program called Project Hope. And then me, myself, I was not in there for addiction. The Lord had delivered me from that some months before, but I was in there for depression. I was suicidal. Everything that my hand touched had fell apart, and I was seeking for something great. And I seen in this program offered a relation with God. I seen how these men were. I thought every one of them were Bible scholars. And when they showed a testimony that 3-4 months ago they were in addiction, I'm like, wow, this program really works. I need this. Amen. So the program is Bible-based. It is a year-long program. I did not finish the program, but there I was taught how to pray. They taught us how to memorize scripture through the discipline, amen? We literally had to memorize 3 to 5 scriptures a week, and if you didn't do so, were scrubbing the kitchen floor with a toothbrush. Amen. So you was encouraged to memorize these scriptures. Amen. And also, we were taught to witness Jesus. We came out here to Creek, Nebraska. I don't know if you ever seen us in front of Walmart. We sat in wooden crosses and chains and bracelets, and we're, how you doing? Can you contribute? Or can we pray for you? Can we share our testimony? Amen. We were just on fire for God and experienced the touch in our life, and we wanted everybody to know. Amen. I was also taught there to trust God. That's one of those things that everyone believes in God, but the question is, do you trust Him? Amen. They was really rebuking my unbelief because I was with my head down worrying. And the brothers encouraging me, brother, if you believe in God, why are you worrying? That opens up the door for doubting. If you're doubting, you're sinning. You're going against God. So they really pushed me and encouraged me to trust God and to draw closer to Him. So shout out to Project Hope. You ever see those men in front of Walmart? Just tell them God has a great plan for them, because I was one of them. Amen. And bottom of the barrel, how the world tries to see us, but God uses us in a mighty way. Because it ain't Brother Edwin, it's a but God situation.
Amen.
Amen. So 2 years later, I'm back in Houston. I'm being used by my church. I went back to church on fire for God. They seen that I was willing and available, so they started using me. I started having dreams of this place. The only memory I have besides standing at Walmart all day long was at night. We were staying in the same hotel, and look how God works. The church that actually was willing was the church right next to the hotel that I stayed at last time. So the only memory that I have is that at night we would go jogging. We don't know where we at, but we're jogging in the middle of the night. Coming back to the hotel, we would go to sleep. And those days I was a little bit better in shape. Amen. So I kept on dreaming this place and visions, but I kept on dismissing it. Right? I just dismissed it. It was a different place. It is what it is. But the visions got stronger. They got way stronger. And I literally started seeing signs. My pastor James, we have a one-on-one Bible study on Tuesdays. This man, we call him Old Testament James. Everything he preaches on, he teaches us from the Old Testament. Amen. So I need that. So I'm going to his house and I'm listening to a word. I'm 10 minutes early. I'm listening to worship music. The song was like about a minute and a half to be over. So I'm like, all right, Lord, I got 10 minutes. I'm going to drive around the block, let the song finish, and I'm going to pull up in his driveway. And I'm asking myself, all right, Lord, what's up with Creek? Why you keep putting Creek, Nebraska in my mind and my heart? It's a heavy presence. And as soon as I said that, I turned around the corner, and Houston's a big city, fourth biggest in the nation. I never been in this street. I make a right, and I'm asking God, what is this about? The street name is Creek. Right? So like, all right, I'm going to consider it. I'm going to look into this. So I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it, and we go to Monday study a few days later. And one of the brothers encouraged me to look into the book of Titus. That's what he's studying. So okay, I said, okay, when I got home, I went home, I pried my Bible open, and Titus 1:5. Titus 1:5, amen. And it says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you shall set the things in order that are lacking and appointed elders in every city. To me, it had no meaning there. I was just more concentrated on the word Crete, right? Like, this is haunting me, right? So, like, okay, so now I'm really on my knees. Like, all right, Lord, am I losing my mind? Are you really telling me something, right? Because I have a radical brother like that, Brother Trampas. I was sharing with Pastor Brent was, I had a brother named Trampas. He was in the program as well. He's on fire for God, mighty man of God. And he would call me out of the blue and tell me, hey, Brother Edwin, I got a message from you from the Lord. Like, all right, give it to me, brother. Well, the Lord told me to tell you to read James 7:14. I'm like, Brother James only goes to chapter 5. Well, dismiss that, brother. Dismiss that, brother. You know, so I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'm having a Trampas moment, right? But no, the Lord made it very, very clear. So I Google every church in Crete, Nebraska. I got a hold of one. I forgot the name of the church and the pastor. And same prayer I did with Pastor Ren. Lord, please don't let me come off as a weirdo. Please don't let me come off as a weirdo. You're sending me out to receive me well, right? Well, he heard me out. He never called me back. So I left it at that. A year later, the visions came back, and they were strong as ever. And I was asking my wife about that, like, man, you think I'm going crazy? Right? Wednesday night, we have a Bible study at our church, and I'm sitting in church, and I'm meditating on that, like, all right, Lord, please, because I know the Bible says that my sheep know my voice, and I know that you're speaking to me, so what are you trying to tell me? Right there and then, my pastor quotes Acts 20:7:7, and again, it mentions Crete. So they're like, okay, man, I'm determined. So this time I'm called more churches. Thank God for Pastor Brent that picked up the phone, received me well. We conversated, and here we are today. Amen. So, you know, enough about me. I was taught that wherever you go in the name of the Lord, and be careful that your testimony does not develop into a braggamony. Amen? Because it tends to do that. So I'm not a very interesting man. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And just like Brother Tommy corrected me one time, he said, no, brother, you is a saint saved by grace. Amen? We are saints saved by grace. We have been set apart of the world.
That's right.
And that's who we are today. If you're a firm believer, you're spirit-filled. Hallelujah. So... And that's our mission today. What does saith the Lord? And I prayed. My pastor taught me that you should be able to preach your sermon in one sentence, basically a title. So all in a nutshell, today's title is healing. Healing. And it was difficult for me because I was asking God. I at first was like, the Lord put condemnation in my heart. And I was like, okay, that was about a month ago. All right, Lord, I got the message. But that wasn't it. That was for the prison ministry. That was for my home church, because a lot of people are tapping out in their walk because of the whole unworthiness. So that wasn't the message. And I was praying and I was praying. And I still, nothing was settled in until finally I started fasting. And what really touched my heart was I called Tommy one day. And he told me, well, brother, I'm fasting. I didn't even tell this man I was fasting. So one accord, right? Glory to God, he gave me the message. And this message is a challenge not only for y'all, but it's also a challenge for me, because it includes no doubt and all faith. Amen. See, I believe that the Bible is the truth from cover to cover. Amen. Ain't no changing that. This is what sustains us. This is life and death for. It should be for us. Amen. So as the body of Christ, we encourage everybody to exercise their gift for the benefit of the kingdom, for God's glory. Amen. So how many of you believe that the Spirit of God is still dwelling among us, is still here today?
Amen?
Amen? Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Spirit of God was a seasonal thing, that it was given to the first 12 and it just simply faded away over time. See, and I beg to differ, because the Bible says in John 4:24, God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. We started with worship. That is a beautiful thing. That is reverence to God. We're acknowledging. We're here to step into his presence. If the Spirit of God is not involved, we're making a lot of noise. We're making a lot of noise if the Spirit of the Lord is not involved. Amen. And a lot of people tend to say, well, brother, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. If you're leaning on your emotions, you're going to go on an emotional roller coaster. Amen. There was a sister not so long ago. She had told me, brother, right now I'm on fire for God. I don't ever want to lose that. And the Lord led me right there to tell her, well, sister, I'm going to tell you something. Prepare yourself, because it will fade away. And then what? Is that it? What if you do feel you lose that emotion or that feeling of the presence of God? God is still God.
Right.
Amen. Because you might be in some situation that take you peace, and you got to walk in peace. Amen. You're going to be in some situations that's going to take your faith, try to take your faith, but you have to walk by faith, not by sight. You can't lean on your emotions.
Come on.
Amen. And you have to kindle the fire. You have to add fire to the wood, and that's called effort. Man, you got to keep pushing. Despite the circumstances of what you're going through, you keep pushing. And man, that's faith. That it ain't your own strength, but it is God. How many of you heard of the formula called 409 cleaning formula? Right? Do y'all know why they call it 409? Because it took them 409 times to get the formula right. Amen. And one thing that I discovered about God is that he tests his product. He loves to test this faith, because even faith is not of our own. A lot of people tend to say, I have faith, but even that is the gift of God. God has given everyone a measure of faith. And one thing that I've discovered of God is that he tests his product. Count it all joy when you find a various trial, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, and lacking nothing. Many people say, I don't like praying for patience because you will be tested. We need some challenges in our life.
Amen.
Amen. You need to welcome some challenges in your life, because this walk involves a lot of discipline. But it's necessary. Amen. So back to the message. See, so healing is a topic that is greatly isolated, but it's a great part of the Gospels. Amen. So let's dig into this term. And we're going to start with James 5, 13 through 16. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version today. Let me just move this out the way. Starting at verse 13, it says, "If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much." That last verse is a sermon of his own. Amen. Prayers are the most powerful weapon. I heard a lady one time said, the Mormons are praying, the Hindus are praying, the Muslims are praying, the Catholics are praying, but the fervent, effective prayer of the righteous. Amen. Those who completely submit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who pray in the name of Jesus avail it much. Come on. Amen. Come on now. And sometimes the word gets a little offensive, but that's a whole other word for a whole other time. But our main focus today is verse 14 and 15. It says, if anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And let's stop right there. An elder, the faith of an elder. See, there's no reason why you don't have elder's faith. Amen? One who's firm in his belief. Elder's faith. Sometimes we go up here for prayer. You know, my pastor, when I was first getting right with the world, when I was seeking the Lord, I was going up every Friday night, every Sunday, for the same prayer. Supplication, just the Bible as for supplication. See, but one day he looks me in my eyes and he's like, "Edwin, it's time you start praying for yourself. It's time that you go into the room and you start cry out to God. Just cry out to God." So see, he didn't pray for me right there. I didn't get offended. You know what, Pastor, you're right. The same power that's within you is within me. Amen. See, he encouraged me, like, you know what, Pastor, you're right. He pushed me to be a prayer warrior. And see, no, he literally what he made me, made me a prayer warrior on Friday nights. You know, so we have to pray. We have to push our faith. Is something that I pray for all the time, for all the time. Lord, give me more faith, because faith is an investment that cannot go wrong. Amen? And we are called to invest into our faith. So to push, we have to push for this elder faith. And also says, anointing him with oil. See, this is one of those things that people have even turned into religion. I knew a brother that he was determined that before he prays for somebody, he had to put oil on himself. And I get it, it's symbolic, it plays its part. But if I go to the corner store and I'm blocks away, miles away from any anointing oil, I'm not believing that it's the oil that's healing him or is going to encourage him or just push him to salvation. It's faith. I'm going to lay hands on this brother. Brother, can I pray for you real quick? Amen? Some people turn that into religious terms. It is faith. It is faith what does it all. Faith in the Lord. Amen? So, you know, in the quick history in the book of James, to see what he was dealing with, Bible scholars believe that James is the oldest book in the Old Testament, dating anywhere between 40 to 50 A.D. James was the first bishop in Jerusalem, leader of the Christian congregation. James is a hard-hitting epistle. It is referred as the New Testament Proverbs. Amen? He warns his readers not to forget those who still struggle and not to be discouraged when our own situation take a turn for the worse. Amen. Our obedience to God should, James argues, should neither fade in times of prosperity nor waver in times of hardship. He, James, insists that we should put our faith into action, instructing us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen. And that's something that I preach to the unbelievers, my coworkers. Hey, brother, talk is cheap. And that's in the Bible. It's not worded like that, but it's in the Bible. Amen. And faith is an action word. The first sermon that the Lord ever allowed me to preach was faith and repentance. What do they have in common? It is an action word. People think that just because you pray repentance and don't put it in action, you got to turn away from some things. Amen. It is an action word. See, now we're going to go a little bit left field just to make a point here. What does James 5:14-15, paraphrasing, if anyone among you is sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and the prayer of faith will save the sick. What does that verse have in common with John 13:23? I believe it'll be up there. What does it have in common with John 13:23? And it reads, now there was a leaning on Jesus' bosom and his disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen. Our main focus is the disciple who Jesus loved. This is a statement that is also quoted in John 19:26, John 22, John 21:7, John 21:20. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen. See, you're probably thinking they have nothing in common. Well, word for word, they don't. They have nothing in common. But what they do have in common is that these are statements that only the writer themselves quoted. Amen. The disciple whom Jesus loved is only found in the Gospel of John, which means Matthew didn't say it, Mark didn't say it, Luke didn't say it. You don't find that statement in the book of Acts, and you don't find that statement in the book of Romans. But John said it. He said that about himself, and that's an amazing thing. It's like if you used to get up right now and tell me, brother, I'm a man of God. Well, praise God. We need more God. We need more men like you, brother. Stand up for the truth. Amen? Well, imagine that you're applying for a job, and it says, I blank agree with the terms of so-and-so and so-and-so, and in that blank you put, I, Michael, man of God. Well, more power to you. More power to you. See, what John was doing, he was referring himself as the one whom Jesus loved. He knew his relationship with God. He knew who God was. God loves everybody. Amen? And a brother, I remember one brother came up to me one time, and he, I believe he was just testing knowledge. He came up to me, he asked me, you know who was Jesus' favorite? I know what he was referring to, but there's no red letters. There's no red letters to back that up. Amen? But there's nothing wrong with that. And since we're in that area, see, the Bible says that there's no favoritism in the Lord Jesus. That's also in the book of James, chapter 2, Matthew 5:45. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. See, many people believe that God starts loving you after you don't got it together, after you are spirit-filled. Amen. You don't got right with God. And that's not necessarily true. See, the Bible says that God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you mean to tell me that God loved me at my worst? Yes, that's why he was willing to pull you out. Amen. See, God doesn't necessarily hate people. What he hates is our actions. See, we were tired in our church. See, we love the gays. We just don't agree with their sin. Right. Say, brother, I love you. I just don't agree with what you're doing. Amen. I believe, and you'll be surprised how many people don't believe this. I asked them, like, do you think God hates? They're like, nah, God is all loving. He don't hate. Well, I believe he loves babies and he hates abortions. Right. Amen. I believe that he loves good and he hates evil. That's right. And in the Proverbs, it explains a little bit about this. Proverbs 6:16-19. And it reads, let me read this out of here. And it reads, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, talking about the eyes. A lying tongue is talking about the tongue. Hand that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift and run into to evil. False witness who speak lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. See, it's not necessarily what God hates people. He hates those evil actions that we commit. And God is a great, mighty God who offers forgiveness. Amen. So that's why confession is a beautiful thing. Now back to James 5:14-15. So what do they have in common here? James said, pray for the sick. Why is that? Why did he quote that? Well, he was dealing with the early church trying to put things in order. He was dealing with partiality. Church was starting, they would put the nice dressed people in the front. And the less fortunate, those who weren't doing so well, they put them in the back. And he quotes that ain't right. There ain't no partiality in Christ. There ain't no favoritism, amen? So he was dealing with the early believers. So just imagine the doubt that he had then, because not everybody saw Jesus. I'm sure they were seeing wonders, but I can just imagine the unbelief as well that was in the early church. So he encouraged them in James 1:5-6. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberty and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And that's how so many of us, we come into this walk with God. We're on fire for the Lord, just like the wave of the sea just bashing into shore. But then all of a sudden we get sucked right back in. Amen. So I've discovered that if you're going in for God, you're all the way in or you're all the way out. Either you're cold or you're hot. Because if you're in the middle, the Bible calls that lukewarm. And I love the way that my brother Bobo explained it. He said, you know what's the definition of lukewarm? When your walk ain't even a threat to the devil. See, and it's amazing because I was watching the news, and the news was saying that United States is 80% Christians. And I'm like, where are they at? Where are they at? Right? Christianity ain't just something you inherit. Christianity is a way of living.
Amen.
And then also, imagine if every American was to knock the dust off their Bible. We have the biggest sandstorm in the world. Biggest sandstorm in the world. I told one of my coworkers who I bought him a Bible, a nice Bible. And I ask him all the time, how you been reading your Bible, brother? He's like, man, Edwin, why are you going to ask me that question? So I know the answer, no. I said, look, do me a favor. When you go home, pry your door open and put the Bible under there. He, why is that? So next time that you pass by, hopefully you get convicted. Amen? And you pick that thing up, put a better use for it. Amen? And here in the book of James 1, going to verse 8, he is a double-minded, going back to the ways of the ocean. You're in and you're out. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. So when you read the word of God, you got to ask yourself, who is it talking to and why? How can I apply this to my life today? Amen? Because ain't nothing new under the sun. Ain't nothing that we're going through today that they didn't go through back then. Right now, what I believe is the world's biggest downfall is technology. We're just a touch away from everything. Amen. It is a blessing, but at the same time, it has its downfall. Amen. My kids beg to differ, but it has its downfall. See, here in the first century church, it was full of doubt, unbelief, favoritism. There was not much order. And here's a twist and a challenge for you Bible scholars. Nowhere in scriptures did Jesus say, pray for the sick. Amen. Jesus never taught healing. He taught and he preached the kingdom of God. See, healing was a result and the fruit of him preaching the kingdom is at hand. Amen. And that's something that I believe today. Amen. When I accepted the Lord, I don't even want to say cold turkey season, drugs fell off of me. Amen. Because I came across Project Hope a few months later. See, he healed me from some things, not just physically, but also spiritually. Amen. And I believe that healing power is still here today. Amen. And we need to remove some doubt. We need to remove some doubt. And we have to seek first the kingdom.
That's right.
It makes it clear. Matthew 6:33-34, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring his own things. Sufficient for the day, it's his own troubles.
That's right.
A wise man told me one time, he's like, Edwin, you know them 60 seconds that you win? That's all you got to worry about right now. Just worry about them 60 seconds that you win right now. Sometimes we try to get ahead of God, and if you get ahead of God, there's no way that you're walking with him. Hmm. Amen? We have to be patient and walk with God. Let him sort things out. Amen? So here, in Matthew 10, he calls for the 12, and he gives them power to cleanse unclean spirits, to cast out demons, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Here we have record of the disciples' names for the first time, Matthew 10:2. In verse 5, he sends them out. Amen? He sent them out, the apostles, the sent out ones. Amen? But our focus is on verse 8, Matthew 10, verse 8. Heal the sick. That sounds like a command.
Yeah, come on.
And that's all red letters, by the way. This is Jesus speaking. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. What is he talking about? He's talking about this power. Amen. He is talking about this power. And see, there's one thing I feel that the church is lacking, that we don't understand the power and the authority that God has given us. Amen. See, it's like the light company, right? When you pass by a house, the house is full of power. Lights up your house, right? You don't know that it's there. You don't see it. But if you take a sledgehammer to any one of them walls, you're going to find out the hard way that there's power running through them walls. Amen. But if you walk into your living room and the lights ain't on, do you pick up your cell phone and call up the light company and tell them, hey, my lights ain't on? No, you simply hit the switch. See, what's wrong with the church today is that we ain't hitting that switch. The power's already there. The power's already there, but we ain't hitting the switch. Amen. The Lord said, what does saith the Lord? If the Bible says it, if Jesus said it, then I believe it. I receive it. I will apply it. I will walk in it. And it's time that we wake up. Amen. It's time that we wake up, because God has given us power so we can do great and mighty things on his behalf, not for our selfish ambitions, but all for the glory of God. Amen. This power is within you, the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. It still dwells among us. Hallelujah. And then Mark chapter 16, verse 7 through 18. It is the last chapter. He is risen. Amen. What the chapter is titled. But first, we want to look at verse 14. See, Jesus appeared and rebuked their unbelief. Hallelujah. See, that's what we need. We need an appearance of God in our lives so he can rebuke some of that unbelief. Amen. My wife sent me a powerful message one time. It was a picture, and it said, God can't be explained. He has to be revealed. Amen. That's what me and my coworkers didn't agree, them being Jehovah's Witnesses, because they believe they can explain to you God and the power of God. I go, what you just did, you threw Proverbs 3:5 out the window, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, brother. I don't understand, but I believe. I believe that God's working on my behalf.
Amen.
Amen. And in verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15, go to the world and preach the gospel. We are called to preach the good news, amen? That there's another way. There's life after death.
Come on.
Amen? And that's one thing that we have to give reverence to the Lord, is a lot of people follow God just one way ticket to heaven, just dodging hell.
Come on now.
No, there's a reverence towards God. We believe that there should be a standard of holiness. We were talking about that yesterday. When the coworkers want to gossip, you know what, brother, let me remove myself. Now you think you're better than us. No, I just don't think that I'm better than you, brother. I just don't want to get myself involved in that nonsense. I don't agree with that. Amen? My coworkers are a challenge to me because they tell you everything that's on their mind. Everything. Amplified version at that. So I have to remove myself. I have to remove myself. No, brother, I'm sorry. I just don't agree with that nonsense. I don't think I'm better than you, but I'm trying to live my life honoring God. And I have to set that example, because if I can't reach out to you with the word of God, then I have to be that example, because we're going to come across some people there. You're going to be the only Bible that they ever going to read.
That's right.
How you living? Hallelujah.
Come on.
So back to Mark 16, verse 17 through 18. And these signs will follow those who believe, going back to that elder's faith. We come up here praying for a man to come between, which, praise God, maybe you don't know how to pray, whatever the case is, but there's no reason why you shouldn't, your faith should be there. I mean, I encourage you to invest into your faith. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, not in Brother Edwin, but in Jesus' name.
That's right.
They will cast out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink any deadly poison, and by no means it will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I prepare myself for this message, brother. I remove myself out of the way. I pray to God, prepare me for this, because you're either I'm gonna look like a fool, or I'm gonna do great things for you, Lord. Amen. But I am believing in God today. He's gonna do a great healing among his people. Amen. Because we came expecting. We already gave him thanks for what he's about to achieve today. Because I stepped out in faith. Glory to God. So it's not just for the apostles, once again, because right here in verse 17 it says, and these signs will follow, those who believe in my name, in the name of Jesus. Amen? To lay hands. And see, it's like Brother Tommy, he travels the world, and I keep hearing about this, you know, or testimonies of people that come to our church, how they went to Africa, and they see limbs grow, and just magnificent testimonies, right? And I'm thinking like, man, maybe we need some third world country faith or whatever it is. Amen. But we need some type of faith because we're falling asleep, church. We're falling asleep. You'll be surprised when I go to the prisons, I open up with this statement. If y'all awake, say amen. Amen. If you asleep, say amen. May have to cry. Oh, they don't even know what they're saying amen to. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I didn't hear you. Exactly. Exactly. Come up here so we can cast that out. So it's time that we wake up, church. It's time that we wake up.
Amen.
So now in Luke chapter 9, again, Jesus is sending the 12, Luke 9, 1 through 2. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples. He gathered them together and gave them power. Once again, that power, we had to hit the switch and activate this power of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that's within us. Amen. Because I believe that it's in us. The healing's already here, brothers. The healing is in the Word. The healing is in Christ. I remember when 3D TVs first came out, you know, image pops out of the TV, right? And I was like, man, I want one of them TVs. I still don't got one today, by the way. But I remember that, even that gave me revelation, because I'm like, man, when I read the Word of God, see, these words pop out of the pages. It's life. If these words ain't popping out for you, this is life and death.
That's right.
Amen. The Word of God is so divine. It is so convicting. And conviction is a good thing. It's a great sign the Spirit of the Lord is with you. Because when that conviction fade away, we have a problem.
Right.
Amen. What was the theory we heard? I mean, we heard an analogy coming up here. The conviction is, I guess people that play guitars, I have no experience. I guess after a while, you get a catalyst on the tip of your fingers. He said conviction is like that. At first, it hurts. But if you complete dismissing, you keep dismissing it, you build a catalyst where you just don't feel anything no more. We have to stay away from that. We have to take heed lest a man fall. Pay attention. So again, like Luke 9:1, it says, then he, Jesus, called the 12 disciples, gathered them and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And this is also something that's confirmed in Luke 10:9. It is repeated, it is confirmed. But we'll start in verse 8. It says, whatever city you enter today, we have entered in the city of Crete, Nebraska. Amen. And we brought every faith that we had, glory to God. And they received you. Oh, Pastor Brent received us very well yesterday. I'm kind of praising God that Brother Tommy didn't scare him away, you know. Well, praise God. I love you, Tommy.
I love you, man.
Eat some things before you, and I believe we're going to have some coffee after this. Going into verse 9. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom has come near to you. Amen. And we have to remain kingdom minded. Just like if we go to China, we don't act Chinese. We're still American.
Come on.
Amen. We act American. That's what we are. We go to Mexico, we act American, or whatever country you're from. Wherever we go, we have to be kingdom minded.
Amen.
Amen. I ask people all the time, do you think you can see faith? No, I don't think so. I believe you can, because if you have faith, there should be fruit in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, we have to be fruitful. Not that we're being judgmental, we just using our discernment. Amen. Because one thing that really burns my ears when a man says he's a believer and he's cursing up a storm. I'm like, brother, I ain't trying to be judgmental, but what's going on? What really going on? And maybe the issue is you feel undeserving of his healing, or maybe you're unworthy, or simply just don't understand his divine power. See, your healing is here today. Believe it, receive it, declare it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we ought to walk by faith, not by sight. See, I've learned that the power is in proclamation. It's how you declare it. Amen? I believe that. You know what, Lord, I am healed in Jesus' name. You know what, I don't know if I'm going to make it to Nebraska, but I sure pray, Father God, I'm believing that I'm already there.
Come on.
Amen? Because I know you ain't put these visions in my mind for nothing. It's a what can God do? The power is what can God do? Sometimes you got to remove yourself out of the way. What can God do? Prayer can encase unbelief sometimes. Can be encased by unbelief. See, us, the church, have been authorized to handle this power.
That's right.
Amen? Today.
That's right.
And it takes boldness. That's one thing that he made clear. He goes, it takes boldness. We have to be bold, and the Bible speaks about that. Something that is required. Now, for those who are in unbelief, the next passage will make it clear that healing is not a matter just if your faith is enough. And this will help you for those who are in unbelief. We're going to James 5. This will be one of the last things that I'm reading. James 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. After this, there was a feast on the Jews, of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate of Pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches, in these lay great multitude of sick, blind, lame, paralyzed, awaiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in it first after the stirring of the water was made well, and whatever disease they had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him there, he knew that he already had been in this condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" Verse 7, the sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps in before me." See, Jesus knew the man's condition. Maybe some of you are just, whatever you're dealing with might be fresh. You might be been dealing with it for years. But God knows. And the question is, do you want to be made well? Amen? That is the question today. We ought to receive it as a divine gift like salvation. See, don't question it, that is doubt, or offer excuses, because the man didn't even simply say yes. He gave him excuses why he ain't healed yet. In John 5:7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool." I was reading a book called The Circle Maker. When you get a chance, look it up. It's a biblical book. Something that he said in there, he said, sometimes we got to use our godly imagination. And today we're going to use our godly imagination, and we're going to imagine that the pool is here today. We're not simply going to put you in, but we're going to push you in. Amen? We're going to put great efforts into pushing into it. And when the water is stirred up, but a while I am coming, another steps into it before me. John 5:8, Jesus said to him, "Rise and take up your bed."
That's right.
"And walk." Rise and take up your bed. Why take up his bed? So he don't have nothing else to come back to. Right. Sometimes we want to return to some things. Amen? And we have to turn away from the never return. The point here is that the man in the story is perhaps the least willing and the least grateful of all the people who Jesus had healed. Amen? He didn't even acknowledge who he was. Around the pool were many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. But this ill man, this sick person, who was in that condition for 38 years, as he asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" We would expect that yes. You would ask an unbeliever, he probably would have put a hell in front of that. Amen? Instead, the man offered a complaint. He offered a complaint. And Jesus responded to the complaint, "Well, stand up and walk. Stand up and walk."
Come on.
Amen. Immediately the man is healed and takes up his mat and he walks. And I'm almost about to close, Pastor. I don't know if you want to set up some worship, and I'll hand it over to you so we can pray out, give you an opportunity to be led into salvation. See, if we are ever tempted to think that God's healing depends on the quality or quantity of a person's faith, this passage offers a strong corrective. The man whom Jesus healed shows no sign of faith in Jesus or gratitude for what he had done for him. Amen? And it seems like he could have probably picked somebody else. Right? He could have picked something else, but he didn't. He had compassion for that man. He showed him his healing power. Maybe that's you here today. You think you're undeserving of this healing power. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. You need some deliverance or something. God is able and he is willing. And we're up here to pray for you. Amen. See, so the power of God, the healing power, is not reserved only for those who are deserving, but for those, but is here. Jesus is here for those who also are lacking in faith to lead them. It's a step that God uses for salvation. Amen. He reveals himself in so many ways. Amen. But I encourage you not to just get stuck in seeking signs and wonders, but God is a great God. Amen. And his power heals the unbeliever. And he leads them into salvation. His power gives to his people to heal, to do his will. His power is the authority. It is the Spirit of God. See, when we hear in the name of Jesus, the part that says name can also be translated into authority, in the authority of Jesus. Amen. So let's pray out. And if anyone here is just seeking some healing, Brother Tom and my wife and your prayer warriors, we're willing to pray over you. Amen. And we're believing and we're claiming, we're commanding healing over you. So dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father God, once again for the platform that you have set before us, Lord. We thank you for your amazing grace, Lord. We thank you for being eternal, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Help us to seek your face, Lord, not to seek you simply for the blessing, but seek you for the presence, Father. And I pray that you just anoint this congregation, that you just build them up to be mighty warriors, Lord, for the kingdom. That you help us to be ready in and out of season. Have your way, Father God. Have your way in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for your magnificent power. For your will, Lord, thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Edwin. It says in Isaiah that by his stripes we're made whole and we are healed, doesn't it? And that healing is applied in different ways. It's our healing of our relationship with God, to know him as our Lord and our Savior. Our sin is forgiven. Our relationship is healed. But we've always taken it to mean that it's also healing in body, soul, and mind. Maybe it's emotions. Maybe it's physical healing. We're just going to invite you to come if you want prayer this morning. Victor and Yolanda, if you want to join us. Is Christy up here? If you're able to. If not, that's fine. But you come, they're going to lead us in a course. And if you want prayer this morning, would you just make your way for salvation, for healing this morning? We just invite you to make your way. Amen.
So the Lord just gave me a word in 2 Corinthians. People are thinking that pastor had a word, that preacher had a word. And man, if somebody could hear that word, they'd be in this house. They'd be filling these seats up. But I want to tell you that in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, right around 17, 18, and 19, around in that part there, it says that each of you, if you're a believer, if you're a blood-bought, born-again, Bible believer, then each of you have been given a ministry. And that ministry is reconciling the world that out there back to God. The ministry of reconciliation. It's not this man's job to fill these seats. It's this man's job to equip you. Look at the book. It's in this book. Look at the book. It says it's this man's job to equip the saints, the set apart ones. You guys are set apart from the world. You've come into this house to receive a word, to go out into the world and reconcile the world back to God and invite somebody into this place. That's your job. His job is to equip you to do that. Let him do his job, but you got to do your job. And this place will be filled up in Jesus' name.
Praise God. And that's one of our core values, Tommy, is reconciliation. That we can lead in reconciliation just within our communities and our culture. And it involves bringing people to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, this morning we just come before you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord God. And Lord, we just wait in anticipation just of answered prayer, Lord God. You've placed that word upon Edwin's heart, Lord God. They prayed about even this day, Lord God. And so, Lord God, we just give these things to you, Lord God. We come to you in faith. And so when we come in faith, Lord God, that's how we are saved. We are saved by faith, Lord God. And Lord God, you've called us to come forward for our needs and our requests, Lord God, to seek you, Lord God, to pray for the sick and they will recover, Lord God. That is your scripture. That is your word, Father. Father, there's nothing that we can do. It's only through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we just pray that you would refresh us, renew us, Lord God. Lord God, place a fire within our heart and our soul, Lord God. And Lord God, if that fire has dwindled, Lord God, you're the only one that can stir that. And Paul's words to Timothy is, fan into flame the gift that is within you, Lord God. May we all do that, Lord God. Let the Spirit of your Holy Spirit breathe upon us and light that fire, Lord God. Lord God, without that fire, it's just work. It's just, it's something that we feel like we have to do. But when that fire is there, it's something that we get to do. We have the opportunity to do. And Lord God, we give you the thanks this day, Lord God. Let us go in your power and your spirit. And we ask it in your name.